Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up in the second half of this show today, I have audio. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson in Billings, Montana, Friday afternoon. I got to MC that big rally put together by Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke. But yeah, we had the Speaker of the House in the House on Friday afternoon into Friday evening. I've got the audio, and thanks to our friend Jackie Coffin with YPR, with Yellowstone Public Radio, for sharing that audio. I was on the stage emceeing, or I would have recorded audio myself, but Jackie was nice enough to share that audio with us, so I'll share that with you here later on in the second half of the show. Plus, we'll try to sneak in some of your phone calls as well, but I do want to play at least a good chunk of what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson had to say when he was on the ground here in Montana. But here in the first half of the show, so great to have our friend Chris Ingot, a Purple Heart veteran who now serves as the Strategic Director for Concerned Veterans for America Montana. Chris, great to have you back in studio.
It's great to be back in studio, Aaron. It's been a while, but we're just continuing to advocate for veterans and VA reform that puts veterans back at the center of their health care.
About a year ago, it was last fall, I think October, you were here along with Darren Selnick, who served in the Trump White House as a Veterans Affairs Advisor, and now, of course, is a Senior Advisor for Concerned Veterans for America nationwide, and great to have him back in studio with us as well. But you held a series of statewide town hall meetings focused on the VA and veterans issues last fall, and you're gearing up for another round starting in Billings tonight.
Yeah, we last fall we did a series of town halls that focused on what are your rights in the VA. If you don't know what the VA is supposed to be doing for you, you can't advocate for those policies and advocate for that care that's going to be best situated for you. So we really wanted to put that knowledge in the hands of our veterans and their families so that they could advocate for themselves. But this go around, we're doing a series of town halls on VA accountability. We all know that the VA is broken, that there's issues with the VA, and the VA is not being held accountable. So what needs to happen in order to hold the VA accountable, and what do we need to do to move this ball forward so veterans are getting the care that they deserve?
So I think I saw one of your promos on Facebook or somewhere, something like that. So I RSVP'd for the Billings VA accountability town hall meeting tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. Great Falls, you'll be doing one on Wednesday. Bozeman, you'll be doing one on Friday. How can folks across the state sign up? And is there a virtual option for them to attend as well if they can't make the drive from, you know, like our friend Justin and Poplar or others?
There will be a virtual option, and honestly, I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out. I know we're bringing in a team that's going to set up this teletown hall for people to be able to call into and listen into it. So I'm super excited about being able to do this in three different places and have it be virtual, and they can go to cv4a.org to learn more about those town halls.
Very cool. All right, well, we'll take a quick break here, and then, yeah, looking forward to catching up with Darren Selnick. Great to have him back on the ground here in Montana. You know, we started to see some improvements, some gains in VA health care delivery, especially during the Trump years, but that's been going in the wrong direction.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's start with Darren Selnick. Yeah, he was the Veterans Affairs Advisor in the Trump White House, and now is a Senior Advisor for Concerned Veterans for America. Darren, great to see you back in Montana, and thanks for your service. Air Force veteran, if I remember right.
Right, thanks, Darren. Yes, Air Force.
Yeah, well, good to see you. Man, you were here about a year ago when you did these town hall meetings all across Montana. What do you want to tell your fellow veterans this week at these town hall meetings, or I guess, what did you learn last go around? Where do you want to start?
Well, as bad as things were last year, things have gotten worse. And so part of what we're going to tell them is make sure they do know what their rights to get their health care is, because VA won't tell them and is denying them. But also explain to them what is going on and what they can do about it. I mean, since last time, VA got so scared of community care, because despite all their efforts, veterans were still demanding the community care, that they did a secret red team report that came out. And that report's been catastrophic, because what they did was said, we're going to stop community care. We're going to cut your mental health. We're going to cut your cancer care. We're going to cut all sorts of stuff, emergency care. And here's how we're going to do it. So that came out, and what we needed was, you know, the chairman of the SVAC and HVAC to find out what's going on, because it's happening. The Behavioral Health Society Association, for example, we talked to them a couple of weeks ago. Since they've implemented this red team report about cutting community care and implementing their new policy, 67% cut that providers have seen in mental health. That's catastrophic. That means suicide. That's why suicide is going up. Meanwhile, homelessness has gone up. There's been scandals. They have a $12 billion budget deficit for next year, and that's just for the healthcare. So the whole organization is in absolute meltdown operationally, and that's hurting veterans. And so you can't let veterans be hurt, and they have certain rights to get that care, no matter what the VA says, and knowing those rights are careful.
You know, and yet in the meantime, as you're telling us about all of these failures and the backlog, et cetera, we've seen, and Chris Engitz talked about this before, where VA personnel are being used to process health care claims for illegal aliens. And so we're seeing resources being diverted all across this country to illegal aliens and to other countries, while they are now falling behind when it comes to caring for our nation's veterans. Darren, you were there in the Trump administration, so you got to see firsthand when President Trump took power and started forcing some changes in the VA, we started to see the VA as a bureaucracy, as a government institution, finally start to move in the right direction. Sadly, in the last 3 years, things have gone in the opposite direction once again. We started to see a decline when it comes to VA services to veterans.
Oh, absolutely. Under President Trump, we put in accountability, which this administration said, we're not going to do it anymore. They just abandoned the law. So if you're a bad employee, you were held accountable. That helped the good employees who didn't want the bad employees. So you had a whole different esprit de corps set up in the VA. And then you made sure that veterans actually could access their benefits without having to fight for it. They could access their health care. They could access their claims. And so, yeah, it was a big turnaround, and veterans were really excited. And then, you know, in this administration, all undone. It went back to the institution being important, not the veterans. And the ICE story is something that I broke when I had I was with the Border Patrol agents for telling me about that, and I was shocked. I'm like, how could this possibly be? How could the VA be processing and paying the claims for illegal aliens and getting them health care faster than a veteran can get health care? I was absolutely shocked. And then, you know, HVAC and SVAC staff did investigations on it.
Yeah, and when you talk about HVAC and SVAC, Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, House Veterans Affairs Committee, and we can talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, we have a certain Democrat senator from Montana who is the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, who is overseeing this train wreck in the VA right now. And we can talk more about why I think philosophically this is happening and deliberately taking place, frankly, why they are undermining community care. First, though, Chris Engitt, as the strategic director for Concerned Veterans for America Montana, what are you seeing specific here in Montana now compared to, say, 1 year ago?
We're seeing a lot of wait time increases all across Montana. We're seeing this dynamic where we're hearing one thing and that care is being increased and mental health care is being increased and we're getting all these other resources in the VA. We're hearing that narrative, but on the other side of the spectrum, we're not seeing it actually play out. We're, especially in the mental health space, we've got 18 facilities in Montana, and if you go to the VA website, 12 of those facilities have no new appointments for mental health care. So there's no increase to mental health access. There's no increase to what veterans should be getting within the VA system, even though that's the narrative that's being told right now, is that we are increasing this care. We are doing better for veterans. And you even got some studies that are coming out and saying that 92% of veterans approve of their care in the VA. And it's just not statistically true when you look at how many veterans are requesting and demanding care in the community. They wouldn't demand care in the community if they were getting that access and getting that care within the VA system. So we're just seeing that all across the board in Montana, that veterans just aren't getting the care that they need.
Well, and what I think is really happening here, because it's kind of like our wide open southern border, or shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and so many of these other things that we saw happening early on in the Biden, Kamala Harris kind of John Tester regime, going back 3 or so years ago, which is like, at some point, you're like, wait a minute, don't they realize what they're doing here? At some point, you start to say, well, yes, they know what they're doing. They are doing this deliberately. And I think the big picture of what's happening here, and we can get your guys' take after the break here, is that these big government politicians want big government options only. They don't want private sector options. They don't want veterans to be able to go to that hospital or that healthcare clinic across town. They want you to be forced into a government only option. So they are undermining the very community care option that they once claimed to support for political reasons only. Anyway, I think Darren Selnick can explain more on that right after this.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Darren Selnick, Senior Advisor for Concerned Veterans for America. Darren, you're going to be at every one of these town hall meetings this week, right?
Absolutely.
So he'll be in Billings tonight, Great Falls Wednesday, Bozeman on Friday. So, yeah, if you've got questions, good ideas, we'd call it the good idea fairy. Did you call it that in the Air Force, too? You know, it's like, oh, great, here they go, the good idea fairies. But we like, you know, sometimes you can throw 10 good ideas out there and maybe one works, maybe one sticks. But I feel like in this current administration right now, you can throw all the good ideas. We had several good ideas from Justin and Poplar when he called into the show on Friday. Hey, we could do this with the VA. I want to see the mobile vans out in eastern Montana more, et cetera. Some great ideas. But I feel like to a certain extent, we can be the good idea fairy all day long. But at the end of the day, they're not going to implement some of these ideas, which is why I imagine this is more of an accountability town hall meeting tour that you're going to be on over the next few days.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we set up VA with the Mission Act to operate like TRICARE. And TRICARE works fine. That's how I get my health care in California. I can't Pendleton through TRICARE and community care, and it's not a problem. So they have the ability to do it. They won't do it. They won't do it because, you know, the Red Team Report says, we are scared of community care because we're afraid the veterans like it more. We'll come back. If they will come back to us, then why are we around? So they want socialized health care. They want you to only use the VA. And they've even put out a memo to their visiting director saying, hey, you're going to get a bad report unless you cut community care. I have staff quitting all the time from the VA because one visiting director said to them, our goal is zero community care. And so how does this affect Montana? Well, if you need care and they're cutting community care, you have longer wait times. And then they may try to make you drive across the city. So when you have community care, the wait times are better because if they can't see you, you can go in the community. But if they won't let you go in the community, then you're trapped.
You know, so obviously here in Montana, we've got the highest number of veterans per capita in the entire country, over 100,000 fellow veterans here in the state. Sometimes we're number one, sometimes we're number two in terms of per capita. But even for the non-veterans out there, okay, well, why does this matter to you? Well, one, I know you care about our fellow veterans, that's why this matters to you. I get that. But also, here's another reason why I think it matters to you is just like they're trying to drive veterans into a government-only solution, you don't think they're trying to drive you into a government-only solution? I mean, Kamala Harris is on the record, on camera, talking about wanting government-only healthcare, socialized medicine. And so when you hear about the challenges that veterans are facing as they get driven into a government-only solution, the same thing is starting to happen in our broader healthcare industry. There was a report that came out a little over a week ago. Half of the counties in America, many of them rural counties like we have here in Montana, half of the counties in America don't even have a cardiologist or a trauma center within an hour away to provide that critical care. So the, you know, Obamacare and more government-driven government solutions are what is driving these problems in our broader healthcare industry, just like you're hearing. And so But philosophically, we've seen this. For example, Democrat Senator John Tester, back in 2012, he was campaigning alongside Harry Reid, and he was bashing VA choice for veterans. He was criticizing choice for veterans. But luckily, 2018 was an election year, and so thankfully you were working in the Trump White House. Mm-hmm. So because it was an election year, you were able, President Trump was able to force John Tester to support the Mission Act. But now that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester have been in power, they're behind the scenes eroding and undermining the very VA Mission Act that he claimed to champion.
Yeah, it's actually worse than that. I was a negotiator for the White House on the Mission Act, and Tester did not want choice. He fought it. He fought it and simply told his team, no choice, no Mission Act. You know, he wanted caregivers. So, and he also didn't want the Air Commission, but he agreed to that. The Air Commission was the ability to fix up the facilities. So when you don't have fixed up VA clinics, you can thank Tester, because although he signed on to it after to get the Mission Act, as soon as the Mission Act was passed, he fought against it. So he was one of the co-signers to a letter to Secretary Wilkie saying, we don't want the access standards, we don't want the choice, even though he signed it. And then he killed, as chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, he killed the Air Commission. And what that did when he killed the Air Commission is it killed the only ability to put together a plan to create new facilities like Fort Harrison, obsolete. You can't get a replacement. You don't have the money for it. You don't have a plan for it. Because Senator Tester is the one who killed it.
You know, and then, you know, this Tim Walz character, Kamala Harris's running mate, Mr. Stolen Valor himself, who was trying to take away our Second Amendment rights and claimed that he carried these weapons in war when he never went to war. I heard he voted against the Mission Act. So Mr. Stolen Valor voted against the Mission Act. Big surprise there. Chris Ingott, what a brilliant political strategy, though. I mean, think about it. The more problems he can create at the VA, the more veterans have to call and beg him for help. It's almost as if the more reliant we are on politicians, the more reliant we are on government, the more likely he thinks we are to have to vote for him because we are dependent upon him. Wow, what a brilliant political strategy.
Yeah, and I do hear that from veterans from time to time, that they weren't getting what they needed. They weren't getting their prescriptions refilled. They were struggling to get an appointment. I know for a lot of Montana veterans, they were struggling to get their travel paid when they had to travel all the way across the state, or for some like me, travel all the way to Salt Lake City for physical therapy. And I've heard from a lot of them that they've had to contact Tester's office or Senator Dane's office and try to get help from them and from the congressional level just to get the care that they need so that they can move on with life. And while we can be thankful that, you know, they were able to finally get what they needed, why should you ever have to go to the congressional level just to get the basic level of care that you need to live your life? And you served our country, and our country broke you because of that service. And you have to go all the way to Congress just to get a basic health appointment, just to get that taken care of? That just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait a minute. No, like, we shouldn't have to be calling you all the time for help. Because, I mean, Darren, that would be like, or Chris, wait. It would be like if on the drive to work today, if the stoplights are out 3 out of 5 days a week and I call the mayor, hey, I got a stoplight out. Okay, let me get it fixed. Oh, gee, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Like if I have to call you to fix the streetlights every single day, you are failing at your job. You're not being helpful. You're failing at your job if I have to call you to fix everything that you should be fixing.
Well, yeah, that's the frustrating part. As chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, he has the power to make VA stop what they're doing and actually just do things right. So I don't have to call him. But he won't do a hearing. He won't do a hearing. He won't sign with other senators to the letter. 19 senators sent a letter to the secretary recently about what was happening with community care and stopping choice. He wouldn't sign on to it. Budget deficit scandals, he won't do a hearing. So they're trying to force him to do a hearing. He just does what the administration tells him to do, and he lets the ones and twosies come to him so he can look like a good guy. But he has the power to make all this stop and to do the hearings and to do legislation. He won't do it.
Chris Ingott, what do you want to hear from fellow veterans this week at this series of statewide VA accountability town hall meetings that you're hosting?
I'd like to hear from a lot of veterans that come that that they get to learn something new about what the healthcare is supposed to look like, how they can actually reach out to the VA and get what they need. If you're here in Billings or you're in Great Falls or you're in Bozeman and you're not able to get an appointment at your local VA facility and the VA does not want to give you that care in the community appointment, that you know that you get to advocate for that. You don't have to drive to Sheridan or Helena to get those appointments. You can get it right there in your local clinics. And I'd like to see veterans be able to take that information and actually start advocating for that, and then reaching out to our congressmen and our senators and let them know that this is not okay. You can look at Medicare and Medicaid, and could you imagine telling a 65-year-old gentleman who just signed on to Medicaid that you're only going to get this doctor, you're only going to get this treatment plan, and if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to get health care. We don't do that, and that's a federally funded program, and so it this shouldn't be any different. You should be able to just go onto a website, find what providers are right there in your community or at the VA, and schedule an appointment and go get seen. And I'd like to see veterans be working towards that.
Yeah, a couple minutes before we get to our next break, and I'm going to feature audio of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's remarks in Montana Friday afternoon, and then after that, sneak in some of your phone calls. But Darren Selnick, kind of your thoughts. What are you looking to hear from, fellow veterans across Montana this week? What do you think will be the most helpful for you to take back to, folks at the national level?
Yeah, I help veterans around the country, so they're individual stories about what VA is doing to them and what they're not telling them. I mean, knowledge is power. Veterans need to have the knowledge, and VA won't put the information out by law that they're required to do. So explain to them what their rights are, and then me learning in the field, you don't learn better than being in the field and hearing what individual stories are, because I help veterans all around the country. And I just recently helped a veteran, 76-year-old blind veteran, an hour away from a VA facility, and the VA suddenly cut off his care and said, no, you have to come an hour to the... It's like, hey, he's blind. He can't drive. How do you expect him to get there? That's why he's in the community next door neighbor. So the stories from Montana veterans, what they're doing, and I've heard lots of good stories in the past, making them drive to other cities, not telling them about their community care options. This is important for us to learn, to know, and we take this back to House Veterans Affairs Committee, Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, and it helps us tell other veterans about what the tricks are.
Well, that's huge, because that could mean, hey, driving to another city in Montana could mean 7 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours. So it's even more important in a big state like Montana. The one other thing I wanted to point out is, for our listeners, if you serve on a local hospital board or something like that, think about it. If these veterans are able to become patients or customers of yours, that makes your local small town hospital and rural healthcare providers more profitable and more likely to stay in the red as well. And so instead of seeing that business leave your town and leave your community and go somewhere else, go to the government, they support your local hospital, your local healthcare providers, more likely to keep them in operation to serve you, non-veterans as well. Darren Selnick, Chris Engett, great to see both of you. Concerned Veterans for America, Montana, great to see both of you. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Coming up after this, we've got audio thanks to Jackie Coffin with Yellowstone Public Radio, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, and part of what he had to say at the rally in Montana Friday afternoon.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Almost one quarter of U.S. farms and ranches do not have access to the internet. U.S. Census data says American farmers and ranchers did see moderate improvement, though, in internet access from the years 2017 to 2022. Across rural America, the percentage of farm operations or operator residences with internet access increased from 75.4% in 2017 to 78.7% in 2022. In all, there is still a surprising number of producers at 21.3% who do not have internet access. Many of the available options for internet aren't adequate for accessing precision agriculture in these rural communities, though. An FCC task force is recommending a minimum performance of 100 megabytes per second for downloading and 20 megabits per second for uploading to support precision agriculture. A Washington, D.C. Circuit Court panel has vacated a swath of government decisions denying a request from small fossil fuel refineries to be temporarily exempt from the renewable fuel standard. The circuit court ruled against the EPA, saying that the agency's rationale for denying all pending exemption requests was contrary to law, arbitrary, and capricious. I'm Lane Northlund. Hey,
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I probably won't have time to play the full audio of Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's remarks in Billings, Montana on Friday afternoon, but I'll play at least a couple of chunks of it. Very interesting remarks by Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Dave in Butte, first, before we get to that, Dave in Butte, U.S. Marine Corps veteran, sent us this message on our Montana Talks app. Dave says this: The mistreatment of veterans is absolutely disgusting. Benefits fought and sacrificed for should not be a fight to get. A 67% reduction in mental health benefits is catastrophic. Dave in Butte, thanks for your service. Thanks for that message. Here we go. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, this is about 4 minutes into his remarks. Before he got into, you know, his official message at the rally in Billings, and by the way, the rally put together by Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke. We got a chance to hear from him. We got a chance to hear from Troy Downing, the Eastern Congressional District candidate. Also, Attorney General Austin Knutson and Governor Greg Gianforte were in the House. But it was kind of cool. He was joking around about, you know, Ryan Zinke, the former Navy SEAL commander who also served at SEAL Team 6. He was talking about how Ryan Zinke was talking to his son. His son was interested in serving in the military. And so before you know it, Ryan Zinke is teaching Speaker of the House Mike Johnson's kid how to knife fight and how to kill a guy with a knife. And so that's it. Now Speaker Johnson's kid is off to the Naval Academy as we speak. So there you go. And it was also kind of funny, too. Mike Johnson, he joked around a little bit about how he said, you know, I used to be as tall as Ryan Zinke, but man, they've been beating me down ever since I took this job as Speaker of the House, and here I am. All right, then he says, let's just cut to the chase.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm just going to cut to the chase, okay, because it's hot and it's late and the hour is late and the crisis is great in the country, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this. We're facing the greatest collection of crises that our nation has faced probably since World War II, some argue since the Civil War. Everybody in this room knows that, and we know the stakes are so high you cannot overstate it. You've already heard this is the most important election cycle of our lifetime. That is exactly right. I believe right now we're not in a contest anymore. Just between Republicans and Democrats. It is that, but it's much deeper than that. We're in a contest right now between two completely different visions for who we are as America and who we're going to be. Now, what we're trying to do as conservatives is conserve something. And when I'm back in Louisiana or I'm traveling around the country, by the way, this is my 168th city in 36 states in 7 months. It might be the prettiest one so far, but don't tell everybody else. But we're out, when I'm around in the country and I'm talking to people and we're in big rooms of conservatives and Republicans and Trump supporters and all of it, and I say, hey, what is it we're trying to conserve? In fact, what does it mean to be a conservative in America? What is American conservatism? And you get a long range of issues. A lot of people will say, our gun rights. Yes, that's part of it. I believe in the sanctity of life. Yeah, that's part of it as well. I believe in our founding principles. Okay, what are they? What are they? So Reagan said in his famous farewell address, he said, they call me the great communicator, but I really wasn't. He said, I was just communicating great things. And they're the same great things that have guided our nation since its founding. What are the great things? See, I believe it boils down to, I call them the seven core principles of American conservatism. Because I think we need to speak with clarity, conviction, and consistency right now than we ever have before, because people are looking for the answers. What does it boil down to? I think it's individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and human dignity. Now, under those things, there's lots of subcategories, but that's the essence of what made us the greatest nation in the history of the world. It's not even close. We're the strongest, the most free, most successful, most powerful, most benevolent nation it's ever been. But it is not by happenstance. It's because it's built on these foundational principles. Now, here's the problem right now. We revere those principles. When I talk about that in a room full of conservatives and Republicans, they go, yeah, yeah, that's what we're for. But if I give that same list in Washington right now, and we have some of our Democrat colleagues in the room, they're not your father's and grandfather's Democrats, okay? These people are socialists. They're progressives. They have disdain for the founding principles of the country. They don't revere them like we do. They want to tear them down. They envision for this country that we, that America would be some sort of, you know, European-style Marxist utopia or something. But we understand in this room that is a dangerous fool's errand. And so we're fighting right now for the future of the country and holding fast to the things that made us what we are and who we are. That's the battle. This is not a game. Kamala Harris is a socialist. She is a radical leftist San Francisco liberal. They're doing the greatest gaslighting operation in the history of American politics right now, trying to convince us that Kamala Harris is some sort of moderate. She's some sort of policy wonk. Give me a break. She chose walls. This guy is on video like a year and a half ago saying socialism is a great idea. This is a dangerous game. They have gotten us into a mess. It doesn't matter where I am around the country, north, south, east, west. It doesn't matter what district. Everybody's fed up. The cost of living, the rising crime, the open border, and all the catastrophe that's meant to us. They're so worried about our stability on the world stage. Why? Because we're projecting weakness from the White House. And when you do that, you invite aggression from America's enemies, the enemies of freedom. That's what's happening. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea are working together right now as we speak, plotting against us, fighting against freedom. And we have opened the door for that because these people in charge have led us with those policies.
All right. Now, he then goes on to talk about how we have an opportunity to turn this around. He talks about traveling the countries, you know, country to near 200 or so events, and how Hispanic voters are starting to abandon the Democrat Party. Black voters starting to abandon the Democrat Party. And then he talked about being in Jackson Hole, Wyoming last week as new polling data flashed across the screen. Let me see if I queued it up in the right spot for you here.
Events, and I turned on Fox News, and they had their latest poll. This is 48 hours ago, roughly. And the poll says that for the House races, they anticipate that we have 211 safe Republican seats that we can count on. We have 205 safe Democrat seats that will be elected. They say there are 19 toss-up seats in the middle, okay? I think a couple of these seats in Montana are right on the edge there. When Ryan says the majority and thus saving the Republic runs through Montana, he is not exaggerating. We have to win both these seats. This is not just for your state. It's for the future of America, and that is not an overstatement. But I believe if it goes well, Fox says, you know what, on a good night, if the Republicans have a good night on November 5th, they can have a 13-seat majority in the House of Representatives. I think that's about right. And then look, anything can happen. We're going to run like we're 10 points behind. Democrats are going to raise more money because they got Hollywood and billionaires overseas and everybody else up. But it's grit, determination, and a good stewardship of the funding that's going to allow us to win these races. And we have extraordinary candidates like these two guys that are going to get it done. Over on the Senate side, the Vegas odds say about 82 to 85% Republicans are going to take the Senate back. Now, we don't – that's right. That's right. Now, the big question is, we don't know yet if we're going to have a 51-seat majority or like a 54-55. And Tim's race will decide that margin of victory. How many of you know we need more than a one-seat majority, okay, in the Senate, all right? Tim's an extraordinary candidate. He's going to be great. Youth, enthusiasm, grit, man. He checks all the boxes, and it's going to be awesome. And I believe Donald Trump is going back to the White House. And I'm telling you that he's ready. I'm not going to talk all day about all this. I could, but I'll just say this. I was with him at the convention less than a week after he was shot in the face, okay? Getting shot in the face, right, Rand, you hadn't quite been shot in the face before. That, okay, but you've been in a lot of battles. That'll make a man think. That'll make a man think about his legacy, about history, and about the divine hand of providence. And President Trump and I were talking about the divine hand of providence, and that weighed on him heavily. You could see the countenance on his face if you watched the convention. I mean, he's processing all this. I believe that he has been raised up. I believe Romans 13, the Bible is very clear, says, you know, all those in authority are ordained of God. They're raised up by God. And I've talked about this with President Trump. I believe that this is his time to lead the country again. And at the most faithful moment in the modern era of the nation, we need strong, steady hands on the wheel. And I believe Donald Trump will do that. I really do. I really do. Look, we're going to get this done. Kamala Harris came out with the best ammo today. She came out with her economic plan. Hey, we've seen 3.5 years of Kamala Harris and economic plan. We can't afford more years of that. We all know that.
All right. That was a part of what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson had to say at that rally in Billings, Montana, Friday afternoon. What's your thoughts, your reactions, or do you got something you want to talk about? We'll take a quick break here. We've got just a quick few minutes left here rounding out the show, and I want to open up the phone lines for you. If you've got reaction or something you want to share, 406-294-0970. Call right now, and we should be able to get to you before we run out of time. Right after this, right here with Montana Talks. And then later in the week, man, we're going to have Tulsi Gabbard back on the program, Concerned Women for America, and much more.
This is where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get right to your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Real quick, I just heard the commercial break there, and you heard about that hail, the hail damaged boats and RVs, and when they're, you know, Brett's RV's having this hail of a sail. One of their boats they brought out, their boat that they brought out Friday, we got some warriors out on the water on Yellowtail Dam, Bighorn Canyon. The Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association put together a retreat for these active duty Green Berets and their families. Absolutely incredible, and hats off to retired Colonel Tim Small for putting that together. But I got a chance to get out there on the water with them for a little bit, and Brett's RV had one of their hail-damaged pontoons. This thing was incredible. It's got like a drop-down bar on the back of the pontoon with its own bar stools. Holy cow, that thing was cool. 300 horsepower motor. I shouldn't even be telling you about it because I should be trying to get my hands on that pontoon. But you know me, I always wanna, you know, get excited telling you about all the good deals that are out there. So got to share it with you. All right, let's go to Lee in Billings on the phone lines. Lee, what's going on?
What's going on? Thanks, Aaron, for all you do. I really appreciate it, and I think a lot of people in Montana do. We had a tester volunteer come to our door, and my wife said that he didn't knock on the door. He pounded on the door, and he literally moved the door handle. He was very, very aggressive, and that should not be. Should not be.
Oh, interesting. So if they're coming to your door, because I had a couple of guys in my neighborhood, and they did not come to my door. And so you know, they have pretty, you know, so you don't have to answer this question, but they likely see you as either a swing voter or somebody who could potentially vote for Tester. Are you somebody who has voted for Tester before, and are you thinking of voting for him again this election, or what's your thoughts?
No, never have, never will. he's have no respect for the man at all whatsoever, and he's everything he says. He's a liar, a liar, a liar. That's all I can say. And he doesn't care about Montana.
What is just hiding out, and he's not even doing his job right now. He should be out talking to constituents, finding out what Montanans have to say. I mean, I loved listening in while I was driving out to the lake on Friday. I loved listening in to the show. It was so fun to just kick back and listen. And, you know, there was Governor Gianforte. There was Congressman Zinke taking phone call after phone call after phone call from Montanans. And some really good questions, and then some other questions that, well, that's more of a, you know, state issue or more of a federal issue or whatever. But either way, they're willing to answer to you. Why is he so afraid to answer your phone calls? I mean, it's really not that hard to do. Former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer would do it all the time. Why is John Tester too afraid to do that? Lee, thanks for the call. Susie in Whitefish next up. Susie, what's going on?
Well, what I'm wondering is where can we, I'm up in Whitefish, get yard signs, you know, for Trump, Vance, Sheehy, Zinke. I have, mine get stolen a lot, so I have to deal with that.
Wow. Yeah, you're in Whitefish. Whitefish, it's not the same railroader town that that my great-grandparents and dad grew up in, is it?
No, sadly it isn't. And the yard signs that are up are outnumbering the signs I want to see out there. And I have friends call me. I emailed Don Kay. He's retired now, but I don't know if I'll hear back. But I'd like to know where I can get those signs. I have others that can... I've asked me, too.
Yeah.
Where can we get our yard signs?
Well, I'm assuming there's a local, I think I drove past the local Flathead Republicans election our office. It's over by, I think I saw it by the Water's Edge Winery and Bistro when we did an event from there. I think I drove by right past it. But so they might have.
By Snappies?
You know, I'm not sure. Yeah. So they might have more for you. Now, the good news is this, is even though obviously the other side keeps stealing and tearing down your campaign yard signs, I know folks love yard signs. They love to show support for their candidates. And in certain local elections, yard signs are important. But really, at the end of the day, yard signs, they're nice. They're nice to haves, but they're not necessarily going to win elections. And a lot of candidates, they love to see their name on yard signs and everything. Door to door, getting out there, talking to your friends and neighbors, and talking to folks out there, volunteering for various organizations, that's what wins elections. Or, you know, raising money so you can have your message heard on the radio or on a TV commercial or something like that. The air war, the ground war combined, that's what really works. And but hey, yard signs, great. Yeah, do whatever you want to get your message out. But I'm not saying this is you, Susie, but sometimes I feel like a lot of folks who maybe share the opinions that you and I might share, we might call into a talk radio show. We might put a yard sign up. And again, I'm not saying this is you, Susie. I know you do more than that. But they think, all right, that's good. Look at what I did. I put a yard sign up. I called into a talk radio show. My work here is done. When there is a lot more work that needs to be done on top of that. But yeah, check out. I think they've got an election office or a Flathead County office there that might have some yard signs for you. Frank in the Flathead, Frank in Creston, sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. John Tester is being responsive to his constituents. So, because some of you wonder, where is Tester? Why isn't he answering questions? Why isn't he traveling the state? Why is he hiding out? John Tester is being responsive to his constituents in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York. Frank added this, he sold out Montanans a long time ago. There's no such thing as a moderate on that side anymore. Frank, thanks for the message. Sorry we ran out of time, but great to hear from you. Great show coming up.